Welcome to the Esports Business Network podcast. I'm your host, Trent Knox. I'm the founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. This is episode number 20 of the EBNP. Our guest is Caleb Cousins, the CEO of Adamas Esports. Caleb's journey in esports begins playing competitive LOTR, Battle for Middle Earth, reaching the top of the leaderboards. Gaming has always been a part of his life, and he's been able to turn his passion for video games into a career in esports. In this podcast, he tells us how he learned the trade of traditional sports through his father, developed skills in business by grinding out in that arena, and has built up a strategy to take the lessons he learned about mindset and physical performance to the esports industry. Enjoy.
This is the future. Evolution.
Hey y'all, it's Trent Knox with the Esports Business Network podcast. Today I'm joined by Caleb Cousins. Welcome to the show, Caleb. How are you doing?
Good, then. Thanks, Trent. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to the chat.
Yeah, I feel like we got a lot to talk about. I've been looking at what you're doing in the industry and how you're adding performance and science and a lot of different things that I think that the industry needs at all levels and all different types of esports. And I usually start off this conversation asking about, when was your first experience with gaming and esports?
Well, I've always been a gamer. My first game would have been one of the NHL series. I don't remember quite what year, but 90, probably 94, 95, 96, somewhere in that range on PC. It was one of the few games I was allowed to play, me and my brother. But the first kind of competitive gaming that I was a part of was it was on a real-time strategy game called Battle for Middle Earth. I don't know if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, but it was based in Lord of the Rings. My brother and I and a couple friends, we were playing, and at that time it was Clan Wars, so basically forming teams and then playing competitively against other clans. And we climbed the world ladder and got into the top 100 and having lots of fun there. But outside of that, gaming's always been just a hobby of mine that I play casually, competitively, I'd say. Being a massive fan of esports here for years, especially in the Call of Duty scene, and then more recently, the last couple of years have been really diving deeper into League of Legends and all of their global regional leagues. So just a fan of the space and super lucky to be working in it as well.
Yeah, you're in Vancouver now. Did you grow up in BC, or where did you grow up?
Yeah, I grew up here in BC. I was born in Calgary, Alberta, which is just a province away here, but basically born or bred here in Vancouver, and love the city. And there's a growing esports scene here in the city too. It's no Los Angeles or Berlin or what have you, but we're getting there, and hope to one day be competing with those esports hubs as well.
Yeah, I've been paying attention a little bit to Canada. It's interesting. I had Landon Gorbanko on the podcast a little bit ago. He's, you know, a specialist in the psychological and therapies, mental health, and things like that. And it's interesting that what he said is, like, it's still small, but it's a growing, strong grassroots, amateur, and even pro, because some of your partnerships, and I'm sure we'll get into that. But what was it like, you know, growing up in Canada and the experience trying to game with other people? Did you have like the couch co-op experience?
For sure. So like a lot of the games I played growing up were more kind of co-op kind of split screen experience on different games. And then as I got older, I started to play Call of Duty and other games online with friends, but then also just against randoms, just grinding ranked and the different playlists. And I don't think the gaming experience was much different than anywhere else. Just trying to get better at the games that I loved and having fun with friends while doing it. One of the games that I absolutely spent way too much time on was the Call of, or the zombie modes for Call of Duty, the different blackout games. I used to grind those hard and have a lot of great memories playing with friends. I mean, that's one of the things I love about gaming in the industry is it connects people and it keeps you connected more than anything, like with friends and family who are living all across the world. It's the way you can connect, jump on a game once a week, every other week, whatever it might be. And having kind of lived in different places in the world myself, it's been a great kind of connecting tool and just tool to keep me sane as life goes on.
Yeah, you mentioned zombies and Black Ops.
Yeah.
I want to talk about an inside joke. 2000 and what was it? Is it 15? When Black Ops 3 thought they were going to put a premium on couch co-op?
I don't remember that, but that could very well be.
Oh, yeah. They tried to basically get rid of split screen and they made it so that there was like a zombies only for the PS3 mm-hmm. version. It was like this multi-tiered, and they definitely dialed that back. They were like,
true,
we got to have split screen.
Yeah.
And they did it. I guess they did it with Destiny, right? So Destiny was one of the first games that was non-split screen.
Right.
You know, and it takes away some of the culture of what develops into esports, you know, the bring your consoles together aspect, the if a buddy doesn't have the console, come over and you know, play on our consoles, you know. That's a big part of my adolescence as well, is like playing split screen Call of Duty.
Yeah,
you know, split screen Left 4 Dead, you know, like
yeah.
that's a big part of my adolescence. So you're playing video games. It's a part of, you know, your leisure activities as you're growing up. And I haven't, you know, I did a little bit of research before, but I didn't see, I don't know if you went to college, but did you have the college experience?
I did. Yeah. Straight out of high school.
Was gaming involved with that?
You know what? It wasn't for me. I would say the college I went to was a smaller college, and they now have a gaming club. But back when I went, I don't believe they did, or at the very least, I wasn't a part of it. I was focused on my studies. I went to business school, got my bachelor's of business, I was just kind of in school to try to get out of it as quickly as possible to get into the real world and start making money.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I, you know, esports, was not a part of my collegiate experience. Mm. And you know, I played cash games for Madden and FIFA and sports games. You know, I played poker. But I didn't get the taste of esports till I was an adult, when I'm watching Twitch and sort of some of these platforms. Mm-hmm. When did you like first get that taste of esports? And think it was to take what you learned in college about business and create a business model for esports?
Well, my first experience with esports, and I wouldn't have called it that at the time, but it was playing competitively on that real-time strategy game, and grinding and getting kind of to the top of that game, or one of the top players and teams in that game. But kind of my journey to esports was a looping one. Is my career started in the realm of human and sport performance, which is a big part of what my business now is in esports, is optimizing the players and the team so that their lifestyle, their health, their psychology, and their gaming habits are all optimized to the peak that they can be, so that when they're sitting down to play, they're at their best performance potential that they can be. So I spent a number of years, almost my first decade of my career, building a human performance brand here in Vancouver. For whatever reason, I mean, you mentioned Landon, who's an absolute rock star in the space here, but Canada has such a wide network of some of the top human performance and sports practitioners in the world. Like there's half a dozen Canadian physiotherapists on, if not more, on NBA teams down the States. We've got, for whatever reason, there's Canadians are very good at kind of health and performance. And so that's where the majority of my career has been. And then now I'm bringing that same suite of services and that same idea to esports, because I think it's really needed.
Absolutely. One of the things that I saw when I was going over your LinkedIn just to get to know you a little bit better was a time. Did you spend time in Germany?
I did. Yeah.
And that's sort of like in recent. And what was that like? What was the culture like? Did you go there to experience esports in a different
I wish. Okay. So I actually went to Germany to chase a girl who's now my wife. Okay. So it was well worth my effort. But unfortunately, for whatever reason, I did not take advantage of the esports scene in Germany while I was there. I'm also a massive football or soccer fan, and I didn't really take advantage of that either. So I have no excuse, because I was in such a hub for both of those things. But yeah, my mind was on wooing my lady and nothing else at that point. So I was learning the language. I was trying to make some money, and I was trying to build a relationship. So I didn't have time for much else.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, what you want is a long-term partner, and that's some ways more valuable, but it would have been cool, right?
And the nice thing is now I speak German fluently, so I can go back to Germany and actually experience esports in a much more fulsome way, because I can speak the language, so.
Yeah, absolutely. And adding the value there is incredibly important. Yeah. You know, speaking the language, being able to communicate the things that you are developing it for an English audience for a German audience. That's awesome.
For sure. Yeah.
So let's talk about it. How did the Atomass esports company come to fruition? What was like the founding building blocks for where it is today?
Yeah, it really came from my 10 or so years working on this more traditional sport performance brand. I worked on that with my father and others, and then kind of went away from that, went to Germany. And when I came back to Canada, I was like, man, esports is growing super fast. So there's a great business opportunity, but more importantly, there is a whole generation of young people who are gaming more than they're playing traditional sports, which hasn't really happened in a generation before. And they're missing out on not only the soft skills that sport can teach, whether that's teamwork and like communication skills and stuff, because there's no coach if you're just gaming casually, but they're missing out on the health benefits. So like having to like exercise and get outside at minimum for like half an hour a day, eating properly, hydrating properly, getting proper sleep, like these habits, there was such an opportunity in my mind to have an impact on the future generations of kids, to give them the tools to succeed both in their game and in life. So went to my father and then another business, my other business partner, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and we all had the same vision and the same passion for bringing these services and these tools to an industry that that needs them, not only from a health perspective, but also I think people don't maybe quite understand yet just how important these things that I mentioned, nutrition, sleep, exercise, are to brain function. And brain, like your brain is your main tool when you're playing these games. And so mm-hmm. if you're looking to be the best in one of these games, like your body and your mind are your two greatest tools to do that. And so making sure that they're at their optimal levels when you're sitting down should be every gamer's priority, whether you just want to beat your friends or you want to win on the world stage.
Yeah, absolutely. So what components does Ryan, your father, and you play in at Adamess?
Yeah, so I'm the CEO, and the day-to-day manager of the business and builder of the business. Ryan and Scott, my father, they both have full-time roles with other organizations, and they're playing more of an advisory and support role. Ryan is the chief strategy officer, driving our brand forward. He's has 15 years plus of experience in the esports space, from working with Red Bull to now his role at Encompass International down in LA. And Scott brings 20 plus years of traditional sport performance expertise and network that just allows us to build an amazing team of practitioners and experts to be able to deliver these services and create these different tools for the industry.
So as I'm thinking there and listening to the story, I'm thinking if someone was considering getting into this space, and how do they build experience so that they can know how to execute on building a business like you have? What's the first step to take?
So in performance specifically or just in esports?
Well, I think a lot of the, you know, corporate sports space or commercial sports space, there's a ladder there. You have to, you know, climb the corporate ladder and gain the experience. So I'm not, you know, someone who's had a lot of that experience and put myself in that arena. So I don't even know where do I go first to get to even search out the first opportunity or experience. Like, how do I put myself in the conversation?
Yeah. And my advice, and it's kind of a very general advice, and it goes for any industry, is network. Having a network of people in this industry or any other industry you'd want to be in, is so important. It's like who you're hanging out with, who you're messaging it with every day, who you're trying to connect with. Your circle of influence is what's going to help elevate you to where you want to go. And what I've found is, I mean, the gaming and esports industry is incredibly open and welcoming, and we welcome new energy and new skill sets and new ideas into the space all the time. And so it's not being afraid to shoot your shot and reach out to that scary CEO on LinkedIn or that scary coach of a team on Twitter And I mean, it's not always going to pan out, but that's what's worked for me is just network. Obviously right now with COVID, a lot of it has to happen digitally and online. But that works too, because I mean, the gaming and esports industry is inherently a digital industry. So everyone is on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, you name it. And so pick your platform and then start connecting with people and start conversations and see where it goes.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I don't think I developed that skill until, you know, I'm 22 or something like that, 23 maybe. The skill of number one, just like not being self-conscious in a way that will limit you from putting yourself into those conversations. You know, sometimes it's scary if you're trying to pursue something that you love or something that that's your niche, and you don't know anyone, you don't know anybody with any influence, you don't know anyone who has established experience, even if they don't have influence, but they have, they've turned wrenches or you know, built systems, whatever it may be in the ecosystem that you want to get into, right? So are there like little nuance things that someone should know if they were entering into your space, like about the health and wellness, and also about the psychological science or mental health, any of these things?
Yeah, I mean, one thing to add on that last point as well is, if you're in college still and you're looking to get in the space, I mean, one opportunity that we didn't have when we were going through college, Trent, was we didn't have these massive collegiate kind of leagues and associations to be a part of, and I don't know how many times I've seen, even just in Vancouver here, our local universities, UBC and Simon Fraser University, which they both have great esports programs. I mean, a lot of these, whether you're a player in the program or whether you're one of the administrators or leaders of the program, like, these people are going on to be the next professionals, the next generation of professionals in our industry. And so if you're in college, you're wanting to get into gaming and esports, and you're not part of your or starting your college's esports association, gaming association, I think you're missing out on a big opportunity. But to answer your most recent question, I mean, there's so much. I mean, if someone's looking to get into the world of becoming a performance coach, a performance expert in esports and gaming, I mean, it's all about schooling. Like, when I'm looking to expand my team, I'm looking at the very minimum bachelor's degrees, but I mean, further than that, I'm looking at master's degrees, I'm looking at PhDs, because whether you're talking nutrition, whether you're talking neurobiology, whether you're talking exercise science, like, all these things, they're very deep and technical topics, mm-hmm. where you just have to go to school for, and you need that piece of paper, unfortunately. But once you've had that, it, again, I would say it's about networking to get in the space. There's more and more practitioners coming from traditional sports, seeing the opportunity that esports is, and wanting to come in. And so again, it's networking with the right people, both in person and digitally. And I mean, I would say personally, like, there's a lot of interest in the industry right now on nutrition, and whether that's like optimizing players' nutrition plans, meal plans, or just education on nutrition as a topic. Sleep and hydration are always a great topic. And then also, I mean, we talked about a little bit how esports is such a cognitive activity. It requires so much brain power and function to do so at a high level. becoming familiar with mental performance practices and mental training practices and training things like confidence and imagery and self-talk and like these core skills that a lot of us do naturally at different levels just in day-to-day life, but knowing that there's skills that you can bring to the fore before and after every game you play and in every tournament you play and everything else. So that the mental performance space is a relatively new space just in general. And so there's a lot still to be learned. And then bringing it to esports, the great part about esports right now is esports is providing an amazing lab for the mental performance and cognitive performance community that traditional sport hasn't, because esports athletes are stationary. So people, mm-hmm. like we can be measuring brain waves and the different things while they're sitting and learning and how to train this better and how to get the most out of the performance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm, as you're, you know, explaining this to me, I think your space has a higher barrier of entry than the average trade within esports, because I think a lot of people who are just getting started, whether they be an investor, a potential entrepreneur, or a job seeker in this space, their macro comprehension of esports, it sometimes gets encompassed as being gaming in general, mm-hmm. right? And they don't understand that there's a difference between the gaming culture and the esports culture. They hear the terminology competitive gaming, but they disassociate it for unknown reasons. And they don't realize that the industry and the culture possess some of these highly high skill, jobs that require an immense amount of training.
Yeah,
such as what your team and your company are offering as a service in this industry. Feel free.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people, they try to paint esports and gaming and with the sports brush. So traditional sports, you call it sport, whether you're a professional or whether you're a rec league or whether you're youth, like it's just your sport, you're a soccer player or whatever. It's not the same because gaming has been around much longer than esports, although I understand that competitive gaming has been around for a while too. But they're very, like, to your point, they're very different things and have very different cultures and very different professions and opportunities in each one. It's comparing apples and oranges.
Yeah, it could be almost polarizing either way, right? It can mm-hmm. be someone who's very devout to gaming and doesn't associate themselves to the esports world.
Yeah.
Or the other way around. And it's interesting that when in my experience, culturally and whatnot, that it is the traditional sports titles in esports that tend to be where players, coaches are solely focused into the actual competitive game and don't associate outside with other gaming or gaming cultures, whether mm-hmm. it be like the transition from going from a Hearthstone player to being a MOBA player. So that's like a TGC to being a MOBA player. Like there's a bit of a transition that could happen there.
Yeah, for sure.
Is this something you ever think about in your space?
The transitioning from one game or genre to the other?
Yeah.
Very much so. I mean, again, if you let's take the traditional sport analogy again. I mean, you've got these very few players or athletes like Michael Jordan and others who crossed sport lines, right? Jordan went from NBA to MLB and then back. I mean, which is crazy to think about. But I think gaming and esports, I think you're going to see that more and more, especially because games have such a, in some cases, have such a short shelf life that like you will see players like go to FPS, say Fortnite or something, and then once the Fortnite wave dies down, not that the Fortnite wave is never going to die down, but they'll jump to maybe League of Legends because they think they have the skill set to do it, and if they put the time in, they could. So I think it is very possible, and in some cases maybe more possible than in traditional sport, and it's something where I think you will start to see it more and more over the coming years is people and these players trying out other titles, other genres, and seeing what fits best for them, and I mean, take advantage of these other massive communities and these fan bases, which can only help build their personal brands and businesses.
Right, I agree, and you know, I have a kind of a alternative, you know, example for maybe a successful person that's done that. I consider Elky, you know, having been a successful StarCraft player and transitioning into being a successful poker player as being one of those examples, right? Mm-hmm. For sure. Outside of that, like there's, you really haven't seen the shining star do it yet. Nope. You know, one that's the, you know, potentially, and it's kind of there, it's kind of not there, is Aberle transitioning from Apex to Valorant, and there isn't really, you know, he's still on the fine edge there, because there's no reason why you can't compete in multiple you know, leagues or titles or franchises. Mm-hmm. I think it's a matter of, you know, eventually it may go that direction where you're, you know, well, at least for the Overwatch or leagues or NBA 2K or other franchise based leagues, you might be signing exclusive contracts, but you know, there's no reason why a player can't compete in multiple titles in esports. But what is the process within Adamas for drafting a contract with a player, a team, or a large organization?
It's very customized. So it's it can be complicated depending, but basically we don't have a standard menu of that the athlete can come and say, I want this, because what we do is we take our time to work with the athlete or with the team or with the league, and we hear about their specific goals, their challenges, their history with these different topics, and then we build out a program coming out of that. And our programs always start with education, because again, the average esport athlete is young and doesn't really maybe know a lot about these topics that we're talking about. So sleep, nutrition, exercise, right, mental performance, mental health. And so giving them the basic knowledge of why this stuff is important, and the biology and the chemistry involved, and how it all relates back to their in-game performance, is so important to build behavior change, which is what basically we're asking of every one of our clients, because every service and every tool we provide them is asking them to drink something different, eat something different, do something different during the day. And that we need to form habits and behavior change. The only way to do that is with buy-in. And the only way to get buy-in is for them to understand and then agree with you that what you're saying is like correct, but also that it makes sense and that it's right. So starting with education, and then once we've gotten that light bulb moment, which we always do, there has not been an exception to date, whether we're working with a collegiate team or pro team, these young men and women, they understand it after they get a little bit of education. And once we've seen that light bulb go off, then we can start prescribing exercise plans, nutrition plans. We can give them workouts, all these different tools that we have to provide them. But it's definitely a process of, like, it's a needs analysis, then it's education, and then it's prescription, basically.
Mm-hmm. So it starts with soft skills, seeing if they can adapt those things, then moving into the harder skills like, you know, exercise, muscle maintenance, you know, I'm not an expert here, but I'm kind of just, you know, hearing what the problems are and seeing how Adamas could be, addressing these issues like, you know, fatigue.
Yeah. Burnout.
Burnout. Right.
Overuse injuries. I mean, a lot of these young men and women, they have like massive pain. They're playing through pain like a traditional sport athlete would, and they don't know how to address it. They don't know how to prevent it. And so it's teaching things like ergonomics, how you're sitting, what chairs you're using to sit, how high is your screen that you're looking at every day, eye health, how bright is your screen, are you getting the right vitamins to help with your eyesight, but also kind of the rest of your body. I mean, a lot of us gamers, unfortunately, aren't getting enough sunlight. And so vitamin D deficiency is a big thing. And so there's so many little small wins that make a big difference in the long run to a person's health and also performance. It's just a matter of educating and then giving practical tools that aren't going to take out hours of your day. But like, if you can add in like 3 10-minute intervals during your day where you're going out for a quick walk outside, or you're going to actually sit down and have a healthy meal instead of ordering something in, like there are very easy wins that have a big impact that this community just needs to know more about.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And I've talked to a lot of different people addressing it from different angles. From the chiropractic to the physical therapist to the massage therapist to the psychiatrist, psychologist, your take. It's something that I think, well, number one, outsiders don't get it. They think that gaming is a joke. That's the overall consensus in times. And I like to attribute it to esports is in its infancy, and most parents are skeptical or nervous that because the overall market is, you know, Dr. Seth Ginney argues that it's about $25 billion market cap. There's not enough revenue going around to sustain a lifestyle for you know, the majority of individuals. Now, it's, again, going back to what my first question is about, how does someone get started, is getting in where you fit in. And so what's that process like when you are looking for product market fit with you or qualifying clients that you should work with versus clients you might think that are too toxic culture or too close-minded, not ready to address some of the problems that you might be concerned about.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we've had to be is very patient. So we've been in operation for 2.5 years now. And I mean, 2.5 years ago, the discussion around performance in esports and health in esports was really just starting. There were a few people doing some great work in the industry trying to pioneer it. And we came in to join them in fighting the good fight. But even now, 2.5 years later, like, there, I would say the community is still relatively not split, but there's no serious commitment from most developers, from most teams. There are outliers, of course, but most of the community still, they will acknowledge that health and performance and these things are important, but they're not putting their money where their mouth is. They're not actually creating programs and tools for their competitive community, but also for their community of fans to be healthier and to be doing just having a more balanced, a more holistic, a more sustainable lifestyle. That's really what it comes down to. The gamer lifestyle at the moment that kind of we all know the stereotypes around gaming and stuff, like, it's not a positive picture that the world has about us as a community. That doesn't have to be the case, and it doesn't actually take much for us to change before it won't be the case. But it's about making those changes, and I still think I make the analogy a lot. I don't know if you surf at all, but surfing, you're always waiting for the wave. And so we're still paddling, waiting for the next wave. We see it. It's coming. And you start to see the effects of it, but it still hasn't hit. And once it hits, I think there's going to be a massively positive impact on not only the esports industry, but the gaming industry and the gaming community as a whole. It's just about having to be patient, waiting for your moment, whether that's not launching your business or whether it's launching your business and just realizing that, like, the first whatever X number of months or years in some cases are not going to be kind of hugely revenue generating. You just need to bide your time because there's a ton of opportunity and a ton of potential impact to have on this industry. It's just the industry moves at its own pace, and we can't control that.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a corny joke that I had, but you asked me if I surf, and I said, I was thinking, I live in Hawaii. I lived in Hawaii for 4 years, right? I attended the University of Hawaii. But I found myself surfing the internet more than surfing the waves.
Fair enough. You know?
Yeah.
It's like me being in Germany, but not getting too involved in football or esports. It's inexcusable, but hey, that's just how it happened.
Yeah, that's how it goes, man. That's an testament to how much of a gamer I really am.
I was hardcore.
Yeah, it's just. Just where I was at, like, mentally, especially at that time, and people with your expertise weren't around. Mm-hmm. You know, like you were saying earlier, there was no guidance. There was no, like, way to elevate any of the things that I was doing at the time. You know, I was seeing, it wasn't until 2015 that podcasts, you know, streaming, any of these outlets to express myself as a gamer even occurred that I could do it. I wasn't evangelized. I wasn't enlightened in this way, even though it was right in front of my face. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you're in the room and you're looking directly in the elephant's eyes, but you don't know how big it is actually. Right. So how can people find you, and how can they, you know, if someone's looking to, you know, work with you or contract your services, what can they do?
They can contact me directly. I'm on Twitter, LinkedIn, wherever you are, I'm probably there. So you can look me up, Caleb Cousins, or just go to the website and contact us through there, adamasesports.gg. We're willing to work with anyone and everyone in the space that kind of values or sees value in what we are doing. We want to have an impact in the community. We're sharing a lot of the tips and tricks that we know on social media. So make sure you follow us at Adamas Esports on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And keep watching this space, because it's going to be a crazy 2021. There's a lot of exciting things coming down the pipe, and we want to help this awesome community, because we are a part of it, and we love it. So it is the best industry I've ever worked in. I have found my niche, and I don't think I'm ever going anywhere else. And I'm very thankful to have this opportunity.
Absolutely. And one thing before we sign off, I usually ask this question. Sometimes I don't. What is one piece of advice you would give yourself, your former self, that you would have done differently to like maybe expedite something that you wanted to get done? What would that piece of advice be?
That's a tough question, but I think what it comes down to is, it's not direct advice, but I mean, I'm going to share it anyway. It comes down to not looking around at, like, social media nowadays, it's all about envy, right? You're watching what other people are doing. You're like, man, why am I not there? And I think we all struggle with that to a degree. And I've struggled with that throughout my career. It's like, oh man, I don't have that Ivy League school degree. And oh man, I didn't start a super successful startup. And oh man, this and oh man, that. But at the end of the day, like, if you work hard, if you find industries where you're doing what you love, you'll get there in the end, and you'll get to a place where you are happy and challenged and content, but enjoy the journey. I would say is there's no secret kind of sauce to get you from point A to point Z. But as long as you're understanding that every job you have, every person you meet, every experience is building you into your future self and to the person who's going to have that next level career, that next level opportunity. It takes the pressure off and allows you to enjoy life a little bit more, because the rest of it will come. So I think that hopefully that would take the pressure off of my former self and hopefully a few others listening.
Absolutely. Great advice. Again, this is Caleb Cousins of Adamas Esports. Find him on LinkedIn, social media, all over the online. And this has been the Esports Business Network podcast. Thank you for listening. Hey, y'all. It's Trent Knox, founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. I want to say thank you for listening to this podcast. If you're finding value in the podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you share the podcast to your network and write a positive review on your preferred podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, feel free to make a contribution to our working capital accounts on Cash App or PayPal. Our username is ESPORTSBIZNET. That's Esports BizNet on both platforms. As always, we'd love for you to join our community and platform at https://www.ebn.gg. You can take advantage of a free subscription to our bronze membership by following the directions on the homepage. Part of the bronze membership is access to our Discord server and private membership channels. The conversation only evolves with participation from esports entrepreneurs like yourself. We need to hear about your esports business to understand how we can move the industry forward as a community. You can also join the community by joining the Facebook and LinkedIn groups. An additional goal of EBN is to move the conversation forward on your preferred social media platform. So as a last note, don't forget to follow us on social media for current events, news, and other esports related topics. Follow and subscribe to Esports Business Network on social media. Looking forward to networking with you very soon.